Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Zvachim Yudalad. We begin on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Leimu Katanai, perhaps the question we discussed yesterday and left off with, is really subject to dispute between Tanoim. Okay, the subject of our discussion today, again, pertains to Tevilas Edzba, regarding the halacha of pigul. So in order to establish pigul in a karbon, the kohen doing the avodah will have in mind that he will be serving the mizbeach, serving the karbon to the mizbeach, or alternatively he's going to be, the karbon will be consumed by its human consumers, like the kohanim, etc., beyond the allowable time period. So in a day or two, in a week, chutz lizmanei, outside its time. The carbon now becomes pigul, becomes misconstrued. It becomes not only possible, but if one actually eats the carbon, even right now, he's liable to kares. So it's pretty much the most severe form of deficiency possible by a carbon. Now that thought, that plan of chutz lizmanei must be thought about and planned while the kohen is engaged in an act which is deemed primary and critical, essential to the hakarov of the karbon. So it primarily relates to the four steps, which is shechita, kabbalah, ha'ilacha, transporting the blood to the mizbeach, and zrika. During any one of those stages, if he's thinking chutz lizmanei, the carbon becomes pigul. What about tefilas etzba? So that's a unique act that is done by a certain type of carbon, notably the chatas apnimis. So there are two types of carbon chatas: external, where the dam is placed on the mizbeach on the azara, and we have the internal, the chatas apnimis, whose blood is placed on the internal mizbeach inside the heichal. Now only there does the Torah actually specify. The Torah has to dip his finger in to the blood and then apply it on the Mizbeach. So the question is, what status does that act have? Is it considered part of the halacha, part of the transportation stage? In which case, pigul can attach itself to that too. So if he's thinking during that moment, any thought of shaloi be'ezmanu, the carbon becomes pigul, or do we say no? It doesn't have the same status as haylocha, although it needs to be done, but it's not a prominent function. It's not a an element of the akrava, which gets its own identity, so to speak, and is considered part of the halacha. We don't say that. In which case, if he's thinking pigul at that point, no harm was done. That was a question we left off yesterday. And today we're going to suggest that it relates to a machlekes tanoim. Some say it is considered part and partial of the halacha. Some say it's not considered part and partial of the halacha. In which case, pigul could not really relate to it. Leimu ketanoim. Perhaps it's a machlekes tanoim. Tani chada, we have one brisa which says, tvilas etzba mefageles be'chatas. And in fact, pigul can attach itself to the act of tvilas etzba be'chatas. V'tani itachen. Others disagree. The other brisa says lo mefageles. No. If he has a machshava of chutz lizmanei during tevilas etzba, no harm was done. V'lo mefageles. And likewise, if suppose he did the shechita thinking that eventually he's going to do tevilas etzba tomorrow, chutz lizmanei, again no harm was done because tevilas etzba is not really identified as an avodah. Says the Gemara. So we're assuming the question is whether we identify it as the avodah of halacha or not. My love tanoi, so perhaps it's a machlekes tanoi. So certainly it has to be done. It is part of the avodah, and the kohen has to do it. But the question is it an integral part of the halacha? So it counts as one of those four primary phases of the hakrava, which allows for pigul to take effect, so to speak. Or do we say no? It's not considered halacha. My love tanoi, perhaps it's a machlekes tanoi. whether it is or it isn't. Says the Gemara Loi. No, you don't have to go that far. You can say that according to both Braisos, really, Tevilas Etzpa is considered part of the Halacha. Harabbanan, the Braisa which says Pigel does take effect during this act, is going like the Rabbanan, that in fact, Pigel relates to Halacha as well. HaRabbi Shimon. The other Braisa which says it does not, is going like Rabbi Shimon. If you recall back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said that in general, Pigel cannot transpire during Halacha, because Halacha, in a sense, is a non-essential aspect of the Akrava. Because, you know, he can just shortcut the whole thing. He can just bring the animal right to the Mizbeach and bypass the need to do Halacha. So according to Rav Shimon, likewise, Tevilas Etzba, which is kind of part of Halacha, doesn't really allow for Pigel to take effect during that act. Says the Gemara, hold it, Rav Shimon here. If in fact this price is going like Rav Shimon, and that's why there's no Pigel by Tevilas Etzba, my Iriya Tevilas Etzba, why limit your discussion to Tevilas Etzba? There, Pigel doesn't take effect. Ha'amar, Rav Shimon himself tells us elsewhere that there's no Pigel at all, unless the carbon is an external carbon. You see, Shlamim is the father of all pigles. That's where we learn pigle from. Says Rav Shimon, unless the carbon is similar to a Shlamim, i.e., it's an external carbon, which is processed outside in the Azara. So only that can have pigle. But our carbon, Chatos, Ha'apnimis, which requires the Tevilas Etzba, is internal. There's no pigle at all. Forget about when it happened, whether it was during the halacha of the chatos or the tefilas espa. There was never pigle by chatos achnim. You're right, says the Gemara. Apparently, this is not Rav Shimon. Elohav ha-rabbonon. In fact, both prices are the rabbonon. But there is pigle by all karbanis. Ask you a question regarding tefilas espa. Holikash. The answer is like this. When one Braisa says, yes, Pigel by Tevilas Etzba, the other one says, no, two different carbon chatos. Kan, the one that says, no, Pigel by Tevilas Etzba, b'chato is hachitzoin, external chatos. Where it doesn't say, the Pasuk does not spell out, dip your finger in. So although, technically he has to do it by default, how else is he going to get the blood from his finger to the right? But it's not stipulated in the Pasuk, in which case it's not labeled as a distinct part of the Avodah which allows for Pigel to take effect. Kan b'chatois ha'pnimiyos. Whereas the other Braisa which says it does count for Halacha and does allow for Pigel to take effect, internal chatos, where it says v'taval, that the Kohen should actually dip his finger in, that gives it a special status, considered like part of the Halacha, and can activate pigle. Asks the Gemara, Chatois HaChatzoina, it's Pshita. Why even discuss the external chatos? Of course, there's no pigle by Tevilas Esp. Halay Ksiv Behuvetaval. If you look at the Torah, there's no mention of dipping fingers. So of course, it's not counted as part of the Avodah. Why even discuss it? No, there is some importance to Tevila, because technically he has to do it. Istrich. There's a point in mentioning and discussing this. Why? Perhaps I would say, Torah does tell the Kohen to take the blood manually, i.e. your finger. It doesn't spell it out, but it's implied. In fact, he has to do it manually. Imagine a monkey comes along, Rami luhu ayode, puts the blood on his finger, puts it on his hand without him himself doing it. Does it work? No. Because he didn't fulfill the directive of the Torah. V'lakach, the Torah says, take it, you take it. Boy, the Mishkal Zimna Achariti, he'll have to retake it again. So I would think that by implication, it's as though the Torah specified, dip your finger, command the Chsivat Tavaldomit, as though the Torah tells him to dip his finger, come on, from the point of the Brisa to say no. although he has to do it, but it wasn't spelled out in the Torah. That's why the Torah does not specifically doesn't say v'tav, I'll dip your finger, d'mash m'achi, to tell you. On the one hand, it's not really a prominent aspect of avodah, which would allow for pigel. Meaning, if he has a machshava of pigel during that moment, no, that moment isn't considered a critical part of the avodah. It's not avodah chashuva, Rashi says, because it wasn't spelled out in the Torah. In contrast to shechita, kabbalah, Haylach, Hazrika, those are spelled out. Those allow for pigel, but not during Tevilas Etzba. Umash Mach, on the other hand, the Torah is implying that he has to do it. He can't do it, by remote control. It has to be done manually. But it's not on the same level as the other phases of the Akrava, and therefore, if he has a Machshava of pigel during that moment, it doesn't really count. So the bottom line is, it seems that in fact it is the consensus that by Echatas Apnimis, where not only is dipping required, it's actually spelled out in the Pasuk. So the act of Tevilas Etzba is considered an Avodah Chashuva, a prominent component of the Avodah. It's like Hoylacha. So if he has a Machshavas Pigel at that moment, it's Pigel. Now, according to Rav Shimon, in any case, pigel wouldn't apply by chatas apnimis, because it's not similar to lishlamim, which is external. Furthermore, Rav Shimon holds that, in any case, during haylacha, there is no pigel option, as Rav Shimon explains in the Mishnah, because technically you can do it without haylacha. You can't do it without Shechita, Kabbalah, Uzrika, but you could shortcut the halacha by just doing it right near the Mizbech with no need to transport. Rav Shimon Machshav Hiluch. So he says if there's Machshav Apil during Hiluch, it's kosher. Amar Rav Shimon Ben Lakish. Here's an exception to that rule. This only applies to external karbanis, so the ones in the Azara, which allow for this shortcut. You can technically do the shchitin right near the Mizbeach and avoid the halacha. But Moide Rabbi Shimon would agree by lachas, while he's transporting the chatois apnimi, the internal chatois, where Rashi says it's not possible. It's not feasible to do the shchitin, inside in the heichal where the Mizbeach is. It's not derech eretz to do so. So it's not really deemed doable. So inevitably, he's going to have to do the shechita outside in the Azor, and he's going to have to transport the blood into the Heichal. So in this case, it is an essential component of the Akrava, and therefore, Shemachshava Poiselesbu. If he has a Machshava during that moment, it makes it possible. Hoyel, Va'avoida She'en Yochel Levato. Since this is an Avoida which cannot be discounted, asks the Gemara, hold about a minute ago we said that internal karbanis never get pigel according to Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon just told us, kol she'einayam mazbeach achis and kishlam, unless the karban is similar to shlamim in a sense that it's done outside, ein chayav alav b'shem pigel, there's no pigel status to it. Rav Yisrael Chanina, you're right. Even though he had a machshava of chutz lezmani, pigel in a technical sense will not be applied, but it's still a deviation and a serious one. And the karban becomes pasul. Moida. Moidehu, or Haya, live sol mekavachayma. Even Rav Shimon would agree that in a case of an attempt to make it pigel, it becomes at least possible. Based on logic, mekavachayma. Why? Uma shaloi lishman. Since the machshava of shaloi lishman. So he has a shlamim and he is a shechting it, thinking that it's an oilam. No harm was done. The shlamim is still kasher. So despite the fact that the thought of shalei lishma is in a way less severe, because it doesn't really disqualify the shlamim, still we find that regarding echatos, right, shalei lishma totally disqualifies it. Pasul b'chatos. So despite its leniency on one hand, it's very strict on the other hand. Certainly chutz lezmanai, a thought of chutz lezmanai, which is right, a pigel thought, which certainly affects the shlamim, so it has that advantage. Of course, it would affect a chatos and make it possible. In addition, she still b'chatos. So we learn from here that a machshava shalol of a shavav chusli is manoi. Even though at times, perhaps it can't make something pigle, but at least it'll make it possible. Okay, says the Gemara. V'ashkechon chutzal zmani. We've established the chutzal zmani makes possible. Chutzlam kaimim minolam. What if you had a machshava chutzlam kaimay? Outside of its place, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, I will process it there. So he's doing the shechita, the intention of doing the zrika outside the Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi explains, right, we have three levels. Shlo Tishmai, he has a mind to different carbon. Chos Lizmana, he had a mind to serve it beyond its allowable time, that's pigel. And we have Chos Lim Kaima, which is somewhere in between. It doesn't make it pigel. If you eat it, it's no kares, but it makes it puzzle. And Rashi explains, Chos Lim Kaima is also learned from Mishlamim, just like Chos Lizmana is. Mishlamim is a source for both, for Chos Lizmana and Chos Lim Kaima. According to Pshimin, it only applies to a carbon which is comparable to a shlamim. An external carbon, an internal carbon, will not become pigle. But as we said, although it won't become pigle, it will become pasul. If he has a machshava chutzal zmani, what if you have a machshava chutzal kaimai on an internal carbon? Va'ashkan chutzal zmani, you've established that chutzal zmani can invalidate an internal carbon. Chutzal kaimai, what if he has a machshava chutzal kaimai? How do we know that too? Will impact the internal chatos. Can he learn this from Chutzal Zmani? No. Chutzal Zmani is much more severe. It generates caries if one eats the carbon, which Chutzal Kami doesn't have. Ima Chutzal Zmani, can you learn it from Chutzal Zmani? No, Mal Chutzal Zmani. Can compare to Chutzal Zmani, she can't caries. There's a caries element there which Chutzal Kami doesn't have. Ima Shalei Lishma, we're going to learn from Shalei Lishma, which invalidates the Chatas. Shalei Lishma has an advantage over Chutzal Kami regarding something called a bama. An altar. So at times during our history, they were allowed to offer karbanis on a bama, on a mizbeach, out in the open. So there's no concept of territory, of place, of makayim, of outside the makayim, right? Rashi says, "Kala bika mikayim atzeif oilam." The makayim just stretches on endlessly. There's no defined makayim. So chusam kaimai would not apply. Would not be a detrimental factor regarding a carbon brought on a bama. But shalei lishma would. Mislabeling the carbon, that problem applies anywhere, whether it's in the mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash, or in a bama. So in a way, you see that shalei lishma has an advantage, has a greater strictness over shalei bim kaimai, which doesn't apply by a bama. So how could he learn one from the other? You can't learn from Shalei Lishma to Shalei Bim Kaimai, because Shalei Lishma has an advantage. It applies to Obama as well, as opposed to Shalei Bim Kaimai, which doesn't pertain to Obama. Asks the Gemara, hold it. Which carbon gets affected by Shalei Lishma? Which carbon gets pasul? Shalei Lishma b'mai noyig. What does it apply to? B'pesach v'chatas. Only those two. The only two carbonas that become pasul by Shalei Lishma. So if we're seeking to compare Chos Lim Kaimai to Shalei Lishma, which is limited to Pesach V'Chatas, you can't say, Shalei Lishma is more strict than Shalei Bim Kaimai, because Shalei Bim Kaimai doesn't apply to Obama. We're talking about a case where Pesach and Chatas get affected by Shalei Lishma. So too, Shalei Bim Kaimai should also disqualify a carbon. Now guess what? Pesach HaChatas can never be offered on a bama. It's the halacha. Not all karbanos can be brought on a bama. Pesach HaChatas bebama lekarba, they can never be offered on a bama. So if we speak about Pesach HaChatas being affected by Shalei Lishma, we're speaking about a conventional setting. So in a conventional setting, you could compare Shalei Bim Kaimai to Shalei Lishma. Because in a conventional setting, there's no advantage to Shalei Lishma over Shalei Bim Kaimai. They both apply fully. Hence, you can say, just like Shalei Lishma will make a chatas apnimi is pasul, likewise, machshava chutzal kaimai on a chatas apnimis, we pass. Everybody's saying, huh? Another alternative, another way to prove that shalei b'mkaymai will also affect the chatas apnimis, because there's a connection in the pasuk connecting chuslam kaymai to chuslas manai. And just like we've established that chuslas manai, even on chatas apnimis, it becomes pasul. Although not pigul, it becomes pasul. The same with chuslam kaymai. You're saying hekeshu. It's a hekesh in the pasuk keshu. In the same pasuk where we discuss the standard pigul of chuslas manai. Likewise, chuslam kaymai is mentioned to connect them and give them the same status. The word shlishi, on the third day, right, beyond the allowable time, it's referring to chuslas manai, the standard pigul. And the word pigul in the pasuk, even though it uses the word pigul, but it's not talking about the standard pigul. Zechuslam kaymai is referring to a fellow who thought, who planned, who plotted, schemed to bring the carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the two deficiencies are linked together. And just as the chuslas manai will disqualify echatos apnimis, likewise, chuslam kaymai. So bottom line is like this. According to Rav Shimon, since shlamim is the father source for pigul, the only way pigul can be applied to a carbon is that carbon is comparable to a shlamim, i.e., it relates to the mizbeach achitza, but not a chatas hapnimis. Nevertheless, the Gemara established that even by chatas hapnimis, should he have thoughts of chuslas manai, even chuslam kaymai, although there won't be pigul, but the carbon becomes pus. Amar, back to Rav Shimon, who says that halacha is an interesting thing, because sometimes you can discount the halacha, you can avoid halacha by processing the carbon right near the mizbeach. And therefore he says, since halacha in that case is deemed non-essential, it wouldn't be susceptible to thoughts of pigul. However, as we just learned, that's good by the external karbonis, where we have a mizbeach within reach. But the chatas apnimis, whose dam is brought inside the heichal, inevitably there is a stretch of road that he has to travel from the Azor all the way to the heichal. And on that segment of required travel, it's considered essential, and therefore it's susceptible to thoughts of pigul. However, we can try to break it down and minimize and shrink that required trip to the point that we have very little space, very little walking space, which in fact is susceptible to thoughts of pigul. Okay, so before we begin, let's just sort of map out now minds. So we have the Beis HaMikdash from the west. Let's start from the west, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, all the way inside, over to the east. So we have the Heichal, inside which we have the internal Mizbeach, we have the Menorah as well, we have the Shulchan with the breads, upon which they had the Bazichan, the scoops of fragrance, which it would take out once a week and bring it out to the external Mizbeach and the Azara. Okay, so that's going on in the Heichal. Then we have the Ulam, which is the entry area to the Heichal. Now, within the Ulam, we have basically two sections. We have the entry area, and we have the doorway, the actual doorway between the Ulam and down the Azorah, which is sort of beneath it, below it. So you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Heichal, the Ulam, and the entryway to the Ulam. So let's call the Ulam section 1, and the entryway itself, the doorway itself, section 2. Beneath that, we have the Azorah, which houses the Mizbeach. Now, the section between the Mizbeach and the entry to the Ulam is called Bein Ulam LaMizbeach. Now, typically, a carbon, some of them which require to be processed in the north, Tzafayin, of the Azara, so it would be on the north side of the Mizbeach, between the Mizbeach and the north wall of the Azara. According to some, you can actually take a carbon and process it and do the shechita between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Right? In that little section between Mizbeach and the Ulam. Now, if in fact he would bring the korban right there and shecht it right near the door of the ulam. So even if it's a chatas apnimis, whose blood has to be transported inside the heichal, how far does he really have to go? If you break it down to the bare minimum, how far does he really have to go? If he really wants, he can shorten his trip very, very drastically. He could bring the chatas right near the doorway of the ulam, shecht it there, and he transports it through section 2, which is the doorway, section 1, which is the ulam, right into the doorway of the heichal. And technically, he could bring the mizbech to the doorway of the heichal. So although they would position it all the way inside, but technically, he could be standing right by the doorway. And that's where he places the blood. So all he needed to travel through is the entryway to the ulam and the ulam itself. So on that little section, that part of halacha is deemed essential, but only that. So even if he chooses to take the animal far into the azara dushchita all the way down there and transport the blood all the way into the heichal, all the way deep inside the heichal, you can't deem that essential. Technically, he can just bypass, he can avoid that. He can shrink his trip to the bare minimum. But a bare minimum there is through the entry of the ulam and the ulam itself till it gets to the heichal. That's one scenario. Now regarding the lechem apanim, we mentioned there are bezichim, these spoons on the shulchan. Once a week they take them out and burn it on the mizbeach in the azara. According to some shitas, preferably you burn it on the mizbeach, but should they choose, they can actually burn it on the floor of the azara, right? As you leave the ulam and the door of the ulam, you reach the azara right there. You can burn it. And really, they can put the shulchan right near the entryway, leaving the heichal. So how far does he have to travel? Technically, theoretically, a very short trip. Just from the heichal through the ulam, section 1, to section 2, which is the doorway of the ulam. That's it. And he burns it right on the spot. So only that little section is deemed essential. And only that is considered true halacha, which according to Rav Shimon would be susceptible to legal thoughts. Furthermore, according to some shittas, the entryway, the ulam, has the same kedusha as the heichal itself. If that's the case, so the starting point could be right near the doorway of the ulam. He can have his breads sitting right in the ulam itself, right near section 2. And all he needs to do is transport them through the doorway to the floor of the azara. So only that little section qualifies for pigul. Furthermore, according to some, the door itself of the ulam has the same status as inside. So technically, the bezichim could be sitting, could have been positioned in that doorway right near the exit of the ulam. So there's really very little room to maneuver. Very little walking needs to be done. All you need to do is extend it, stick it out to the azara, and you can burn it right there. So there really is not much halacha to be done. And there isn't much opportunity for pigul. Interesting. Okay, let's see. Amar Rava. So this is back to Rav Shimon, who says, only the part of halacha which is deemed essential, which you can't do without, only that qualifies. And only that is susceptible to pigul thoughts. Intim Tzalayma, if you're going to suggest that Rav Shimon, who's the author of this opinion, Sovel Kabrei, would adopt his own son's opinion, the Amar who says, Beinu Ulam Ulamizbech Tzafayim, that the section between the ulam and the mizbeach of the azara is considered like the north, which means to say it qualifies for shechita of a chatas hapnimitz. You can bring it right up there. So technically, he could have brought the chatas very close, right to the entry of the ulam, and all that's required is to transport it through the entry of the ulam, section 2, and in the ulam itself, section 1, that's it. Once it hits the heichal, technically, the mizbeach can be standing there waiting for him. So in this case, in machshava me'elas, b'lochas chatois ha'pnimiyes. So in machshava pigul can only impact when he's transporting the dam of the internal chatos, when? Elo mipesach ulam lefnim. Only from the time he enters the ulam, the entryway of the ulam, through the ulam, until he gets to the heichal. That's one point. Next point. Now we're going to switch tracks, switch directions, and relate to removal of the bazichim from the Shulchan in the Heichal that are being taken out to be burnt in the Yazor. If Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Amu says, technically you don't need to burn it on the Mizbeach outside. You can burn it right on the floor of the Azor as you exit the Ulam. Toich Azor Mekadesh. The whole floor space of the Azor is Mekadesh and is allowed to be used as a Mizbeach. In this case, you have a very short, theoretically, a very short trip from the Heichal to the Azor. Ein Machshava Me'elos Be'ilachas Be'siluk Be'zichan. So, the Machshava Pigel could only affect while he's transporting Siluk Be'zichan after having removed those spoons to be taken outside. Ela Me'pesach Heichal Lachutz. Strictly. Only once he exits the Heichal till he gets to the Azara. So section 1 and section 2. But prior to that point, the Hiluch is not necessary. Past that point, again, it's unnecessary. Furthermore, number 3. If, in fact, Rav Shimon will hold that the entryway, the Ulam itself, section 1, has the same Kedusha as the Heichal, Chadihi, and technically, he can lay the spoons in the Ulam as well. So the starting point is the Ulam. All he needs to traverse is the entryway to the Ulam as he exits to the Azorah. So Machshava can only affect during that segment. Ein Machshava Me'elas El Mi Pesach Ulam V'Lachutz. Only as he's walking through the Pesach of the Ulam till he gets to the Azorah. Number 4. Vimtim Saleima Toicha Pesach L'Fnim. According to some, the entryway itself, the door space itself of the Ulam, has a status like inside the Ulam. Technically, he could have a spoon sitting right there. Because the entry is like the Ulam, and the Ulam is like the Heichal, so it's like one big extension of the Heichal. There's very little room to walk. So there's no walking at all. Even one step will not be susceptible to Machshava of Pigel, because technically, he doesn't have to walk at all. Just pick up the spoon and push it out to the floor of the Azara. Ela b'chdei hashotas yehadai. Only as he's extending his hand. Only that little bit is deemed essential. That little section. Vimtin Salaiman, furthermore, if you're going to tell me, Sava that Rishiman holds halacha shalav regla shmo halacha, that halacha needs to be done by foot. Just extensions, passings, are not really halacha. If that's the case, emach shava me'elas klal. So in this last scenario, there's no option for Machshava Pigel, because there's no walking element at all. He can bypass any walking. So bottom line is according to Rav Shimon, even though we've established that Pigel can affect Halacha if it's deemed necessary, for instance by the Chatos HaPnimius, because he has to take it inside, but how far does he have to walk? Very little, perhaps. And regarding Siluk Bezichin as well, very little, perhaps nothing at all. Furthermore, on this topic of Haylach, so Abaye asked the announcer of Chizda, the Amoraim, used to have people standing next to him like loudspeakers. They didn't have, amplifiers. So they had people with loud voices, and they would speak, announce their words, their lessons, their shiurim. So Abaye asked Rav Chizda's helper, please ask Rav Chizda a question on my behalf. Halacha bizar mahu. You know, halacha, as we said, is in a way different than the others and the other elements of the avodah, because for many reasons, one of which is that halacha is not really accomplishing much except for sort of transporting. It's a transporting act. The question is, can a zar do that? We know a zar can do shechita, but he cannot do Kabbalah, he can't do... What about halacha? Halacha b'zor mal, can a non-kohen do halacha? I'm like, Sherry says, yeah, it's fine. Right? So Rav Chizda responded, of course it's okay. And I can prove it from a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. Mikru Misayeni is a pasuk that supports me, v'yishchatu es ha-pesach. So the Yisraelim, the owners, shechted their carbon pesach, v'yizruku ha-kayhanam es adam mi-yadam, right? The kayhanam took the blood from their hands, we're assuming the Israelim, the owners, and did the Zrik on their behalf. Alvim Afshit and Alvim were flaying the Karbanis. You see that the Israelim were transporting the blood to the Kehanim, near the Mizbeach. So you see, Halacha is kosher with a Zohar. Masav Rav Sheshes, I have a question. I have a Braisa. That a Zohar is possible by Halacha. Zohar, Oin V'Oinen, or a person who had a definitely a family, Shikar, a person who's Shikar, drunk, Ubalmum, blemished Kohen, they're unsuitable for anything. But Kabbalah, likewise, B'Halacha, there you go. A Zohar cannot do Halacha. Ubizrika, possible. V'chin Yosh, V'chin Smoil, or a Kohen who's sitting. You gotta understand why you serve. Or doing it with his left hand, to Yufta, that's a refutation on Rav Chista. Clearly, a non-Kohen cannot be involved in Halacha. Ask the Gemara, but he had a pasuk to support him. For Rav Chista Krokam, he had a pasuk. David Masa Itzba. Who says that the Israelim were actually transporting? Itzba is like a post. They were standing, holding the blood. So the Kehanim collected the blood. And the owner just stood holding it. And the Kohen, when he got a chance, came back and took it from him. So Israel never did an actual act of Halach. But, says the Gemara, Rabbi Rav Yosef, they both say, Damar Tavayu, Halach Bazar. This question whether Zar can do Halach is really a machlokes. Same old discussion between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanu. Machlokes Rav Shimon Rabbanu. How? Rav Shimon the Amar, Avoyde Shef Shalavatl. Rav Shimon is the one who says regarding Pigel that any element of the Avoyde that could be discounted, that could be deleted, that we can do without, such as Halach, is not really status as Avoida, Lav Avoida. Likewise, Ksher Bazar. Just like it's not susceptible to thoughts of Pigel, it's not considered an integral part of the process. Likewise, Azar can do it, as opposed to the Rabbanon, who don't reckon with that factor. Fact is, it's part of the Avoida, the Rabbanon, just like you can do Pigel by Halacha, Psula, if it's done by Azar. Amalei Abayi. If you're linking one to the other, if it's non-essential, then Ezar can do it. But if it's essential, then Ezar cannot. I'm allowed by for Shechita. I'll disprove this formula by pointing you to Shechita. Is Shechita necessary? Of course, you bet. You can't discount Shechita. Even a non-Kohen can do it. All agree Israel can do Shechita. Apparently, the two things aren't linked. Two factors aren't connected. Being essential doesn't really play a role regarding Kohen versus Yisrael. Armelis, he says, no, you can't prove anything from Shechita. Shechita lav avoida. Shechita is not really avoida. Tosis brings, look, even a regular animal, before you eat it, you have to shecht it. Apparently, the mitzvah of Shechita is not really related to avoida. Something you have to do to any animal. Lav avoida. So it's unrelated to our discussion. But something that's really considered avoida, and it's essential, then only a kohen can do it. Veloy says, "More really? You tell me shechita is not avoida?" V'amar Rav Zeira, I'm a rabbi. He tells us regarding a paraduma, only a kohen can do shechita on the paraduma. Apparently, it is identified as avoida. Shechita is para, the paraduma. Who does the shechita? Only a kohen. If it's done bizarre, it's psula. Rav explained, it's based on a pasuk, Elazar v'chukah ksivba. The pasuk by Paraduma says Elazar has to do it. Elazar ben Aaron. Chukah means it's absolute, non-negotiable. Well, it says about Shani Parah, you can't prove anything from the Parah. Doesn't mean that it's Avoida. If anything, certainly a Parah is not related to Avoida. The Kach Shabedek HaBayisi, in fact, it's not really a carbon meant for the Mizbeach. It's an asset belonging to the Beis HaMikdash. Kach Shabedek HaBayisi. It's monetarily Kaddish. In fact, it's not even offered on the Mizbeach. It's taken on the Harazesim, right? So, the Kohen requirement by the Shechita of the Parah is unrelated to our discussion. Rashi says, it's a Gzeres HaKosov. It has to be processed fully by a Kohen. But back to our discussion regarding Karbanis, regular Karbanis. Certainly this formula can hold true. Typically, something which is avoida and it cannot be discounted, cannot be done without, then only a kohen can do. But shechita is not really; it's an exception because it's not an avoida. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Blav kol dechein hu? If anything, what you're saying will prove just the opposite. If the shechita by kotcha b'dek habayis, like the parah, is required to be done by a kohen, because it's considered like an avoida, kotcha mizbeach lav avoida, how could you say the same act by a regular korban, kotcha mizbeach is not an avoida? If anything, standards are higher by kotcha mizbeach. I wonder if Shishim Ravid didn't know. Parah Duma runs on a different system. The kohen requirement is no indication of whether or not it's avoida. There are some things that have to be done by a kohen, just like examining a nega. We just had, you know, this week's parsha, right? Who's in charge of a nega? A kohen. Does that mean it's avoida in the Beis HaMikdash? Of course not. It's love avoida. And still, a kohen requires a kohen. He determines tar, he determines tameh. By the way, Chafetz Chaim writes, we're all accustomed to observing from the parsha of the nega of the mitzvah how impactful in a negative way words can be, right? Said the Chavetz Chaim, look at the bright side. Look how positively impactful words can be. Look at the kohen. He says merely one word, tar. That's it. That determines his status to the good. He goes home. He's free. He's tar. He's pure. One word. So we see the power of a good word. A word of an encouragement, a compliment, a chizik. It can change a person's whole attitude, whole perspective, his whole day, his whole perception of himself. It can have a ripple effect on his friends, on his family, his wife, and his kids for generations to come. Power of one good word. In any case, Maris Nekoim requires a kohen, even though it's not an avoida. Likewise, the shechita of the paraduma requires a kohen, despite it not being avoida. Ask the Gemara. Okay, so you're telling me that the two things are linked. If the avoida is essential, you need a kohen. Otherwise, you don't. We have something called halachas yevarim. They would transport the limbs of the korban up to the ramp of the mizbeach for eventual burning on the mizbeach. Now, that specific function is something that could be avoided. I mean, you don't have to start off at a distance and bring it closer. The avoida shev shalavatli, it could be undone and bypassed. Upsul bazar, and still we see in the Torah that only a kohen can do that. The chesiv, as the pasuk says, v'hikra kohen is hakol v'ktam mizbeach. Of Amram, we learned this pasuk is going on transporting the evarim. So the lachas evarim l'kevesh. So I think, well, you're right. This is another exception. Hecha the gully where the Torah reveals indicates that we need a kohen gully. Okay, so we know that. Hecha le'gully, but where the Torah did not explicitly state, we assume that it's not so. Right? For instance, halachas adam, where the Torah doesn't specify you need a kohen, we assume since it's not essential, it can pass with a Yisrael as well. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? V'lav kol d'cheinu? We have simple logic to undo that. It's kal v'chomer. V'lav kol d'cheinu? U'ma halachas evarim l'kevesh lo'imak v'kapara. If you're even transporting the evarim to the kevesh, which isn't critical to kapara, you can do without it. The carbon is kasha even without it. But yikuna requires a kohen. Certainly halachas dam, transporting of the blood to the mizbeach, which is critical to the process, to the general process, the makv kapara, which would uphold the kapara, if the blood doesn't get to the mizbeach. Lekoshkin, wouldn't you agree that a kohen is needed? It's marnami went likewise. Amar ula, amar ulaza. Halacha bazar is in fact psula. Afilu Rab Shimon or kohen Rab Shimon, who says halacha isn't really essential and therefore is not susceptible to pigel, but it's still part and parcel of the hakrova and requires a Yisrael. And the parashah explained what's the difference. Because on the one hand, it is avoida. An avoida needs to be done by a kohen. On the other hand, pigel has very specific rules. The machshava of pigel has to transpire while he's preparing the carbon for consumption. Right? But if this act that he's doing now is not deemed critical to the preparation of the carbon, so it can't really activate pigel. Right? Only something which is needed, which is vital to preparing the carbon for consumption, that allows for pigel. But halacha, as important as it is, since theoretically it can be done without halacha, you can do without it. So it's not deemed vital to the preparation aspect of the carbon, and therefore it doesn't allow for pigel. It boldly comes a new question, which we a little bit touched on before. Halacha. How does one translate halacha? Walking, right? What if he transports the blood without walking, just by passing? He has an assembly line, he passes from one to the next. Shema halacha, is it considered halacha? Has he fulfilled halacha? Or lo shema halacha, perhaps it's not halacha. Tashma, v'chein yoshev, v'chein smayu pasur, we learned before, regarding everything, quoting halacha, he's doing it sitting, or with his left hand, it's pasur. We assume, you can't do much, walking with your feet while you're sitting. So, the problem seems to be only because he was sitting. But let's say he would be doing a similar function while standing, i.e. passing, it would be okay. So you see, you don't have to walk. Ha'imed, but if he's standing, dumi d'yeshev, in a way which is similar to the function of sitting, meaning just passing, so instead of sitting, he passed it standing, it would be kosher. So you see, that also passes. Says the dumi d'yeshev d'kashayev mesha, perhaps he's actually shuffling along. So when we speak about sitting, not working, that's although he was shy of mesha, he was shuffling along. Problem is because he was sitting. But if he were to be oimid, standing, and doing the same type of thing, dumi d'yeshev, in a way which is similar to the function that he was doing while he was sitting, meaning that I had put walking a little bit, that's okay. That's okay. But perhaps, if he's not involved in walking at all, then that's not considered halach, tashma, it comes another riot. This is regarding the Pesach. Right, there was an enormous amount of karbonis there in the Azorah, and the Yisrael would come and shecht. The Kehana was standing like on a conveyor belt, passing the spoons over to the Mizbeach from one to the next. Shechet Yisrael, the Yisrael would do the Shechita. In fact, it was a mitzvah for the owner to do it, if he could do it, right? The person meant to do his own mitzvah, rather than let somebody else do it for him. Shechet Yisrael, the Kohen did the Kabbalah, and then they would just pass it on, and it would just zoom. It would barely see it. I once read a whole description of how this happened. It was like miraculous. The blood would just go, the spoons would be back, and then it would like, you'd pass it and take the empty one past. It was like a high speed conveyor belt. Passes it on to his Kayan friend, and so on and so forth, until it gets to the Mizbech, and they do the Zrika, and they pass back the empty one. Apparently, passing is considered halach. Hasan Nami denied the purta there too. Let's assume that they did move a little bit with their feet towards the Mizbeach. So, what's the point of discussing this? I'll tell you how great it was, how glorious it was, having so many Kehanim standing there that enhanced the whole experience. Tashma, another riot to this question regarding non walking halach. Suppose a proper Kohen collected the blood and they passed it on to an unqualified person. So, there are two ways to solve this. Either he goes to the other side, takes it from, and brings it to the Mizbeach, or he asks for the kosher. The Brisa says he has to return it, give it back to him, go back, backtrack, take it back, and then start again. Why do you have to do that? Just go over to the other side, or you pass it to this fellow who's now holding it. Go to the other side, take it from him, and continue on. If in fact, passing is considered halacha. So at this point, you're okay. Why do you have to redo that? Yachsel HaKosher. Emo, you're right. Let's learn the Brisa says. Yachsel HaKosher means Yachsel HaKosher V'Yikavlo. There's no need to backtrack. Yachsel HaKosher V'Yikavlo. The Kosher has to go and go around and take it from this fellow and bring it to the Mizbeach. Because perhaps Halacha Sholei Beregel is okay. So you need not redo that passing, the act that he did. Itmar, in fact, we learned Amulam Rabbi Yechanan, Halacha Shavu Regel, Lo Yishma Halacha. So he concludes that it's not considered Halacha unless you did it by foot, as per the literal meaning of the word Halacha. Okay, so today's daf focused on Halacha in all different ways. We discussed Tvilas Etzba of Achatas HaPnimis. Is that considered part of the Halacha? We assume it is. It seems to be the consensus, in which case, just like Machshavas Pigel can attach itself to Halacha, likewise to the Tvilas Etzba, but not to the Chatas HaPnim, even though technically he would have to dip his finger, but it wasn't explicitly described in the Pasuk, so it doesn't have the status of Halacha. Now, according to Reb Shimon, unless it's an external carbon, there's no Pigel at all, but however, internal carbons are susceptible to a certain extent that there's a Machshav of Shul Lishma, Chos Lazmanu, some Kaimim by Chatas HaPnim, at least it becomes Pasuk. Once again, according to Reb Shimon, there's no machshavas pigel unless the anhoilacha, because ilacha is something that could be discounted and avoided. Not so by the chatas of pnimis, where it's necessary. However, as we sort of chopped and cut, there is a very small, minute segment that can be considered the essential, halacha, which would be susceptible to pigel. So only that little piece, but no more than that. He concluded that regarding a zar doing halacha, it would seem to be machlekes b'shimon rabbanon. Right, but at the end of the day, the Gemara concludes that no, a zar cannot do halacha even according to Reb Shimon. It's considered avodas hakarbon, which doesn't allow for anybody other than a kohen to do. And then we concluded that halacha needs to be beregel. All the best to you and hatzlacha, Rabbi.